Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Bike Lab podcast. And it occurred to me recently that some of the best interviews we should be doing, especially as Dustin blows his nose here, is with the staff that work here at the Bike Lab. Because I think we all have some stories about why we are at the Bike Lab working in a bike shop. And so these are just some one-on-one interviews. So today, it's your birthday.
I know.
It's your birthday, which you don't celebrate. So people won't hear this podcast probably until it's after the point. But you still have time to come say hey and happy birthday to you. But
thanks,
it's
man.
Mr. Dustin Warren.
That's right.
Dustin Warren. So you might know him in the community as Dustin Smith. Why are you now Dustin Warren, Dustin?
Recently, Trinity and I decided to get married, and I decided to take her last name.
Yeah.
So that's why. It didn't really bother me, so.
Yeah. And you got the paperwork's in process, and
that's correct. It is in process, right?
Well, I mean, that's another part of this story too. I always joke with Dustin saying he has him and Trinity have had the first Bike Lab baby. And when I say that, what I mean is they met because the Bike Lab existed,
right?
And probably wouldn't have otherwise.
That's correct.
So their child is part Bike Lab property.
She's been branded.
No, we have not literally branded the child. Please don't jump into conclusions. But it's exciting, I think, and you can speak to this too, and we'll get into more conversation here as we go. But sometimes it can feel like you're just showing up to work and you don't realize that the community you've built has like life change cooked into it. Not just riding bikes, but just being kind and inclusive as a community creates really positive things.
It changed my life dramatically, and not just being a cyclist, but you know, being more involved in the community and more of a mentor mm-hmm. or an ambassador versus yeah. like my own personal growth.
Yeah, right. But you've been riding bikes for a long time.
Yeah, probably just as long as you have, maybe a little longer.
Probably a little longer, I think. Yeah. I think you're riding
biking.
Yeah, because everyone would know you now as a roadie.
Right, correct.
But you started out mountain biking.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, take us back through a little bit of your athletic history. So, I know, cycling wasn't your first love.
No, obviously through, you know, your intermediate schools, junior high school, it was, you know, you played football, you played basketball, mostly basketball than anything. I was plagued with a shoulder injury in football, and it took me out of playing football. Basketball, just, you know, I had a love of that sport, and mm-hmm. I tore my knee up.
So what if you were on a five-man team, what position would you have typically been on a basketball
team?
Or what's
guard.
The guard. So shooting guard, point yes, guard?
Shooting guard.
Shooting guard, that's yeah. right.
So, I mean, I did that for many years. I led opened up a gym for many years and did, league play, but 5-on-5, full court, you know, type things. And then
so kind of doing like sports programming around right. basketball in the gym was kind of where
you played at the Lighthouse for many years during those league camps.
Oh, so you're an OG with the Lighthouse.
Yeah, well, long, long time ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean, old guy.
I basically tore my meniscus. And after scoping it out, they basically informed me that I had a defective femur, and my bone was not. I was going to have a knee replacement if I keep playing basketball.
Oh, gotcha.
So, because the bone was not white, it was black.
Oh no, that's not
yeah,
good.
It's not good. So, basically, physical therapy was ride a bike, and I fell in love with the sport. Right, you just went and bought. You basically borrowed a mountain.
So, what
bike.
Was your first? Because you've always borrowed mountain bikes. Did you ever at one point own a mountain bike? Because I've only ever known you to borrow them from GT.
I did. Well, once I got into road cycling, I basically got rid of my mountain bikes. Mm. Right. So,
what was your first bike you started riding on?
My first bike was a giant Yukon from my cousin. I borrowed it.
Mm.
Right, and as physical therapy, and then
as physical therapy, were you just kind of riding on the road around your house or any trails?
I was just riding around the lake.
Lake Hefner. The great beginning for so many people.
And then I went to the Bluff Creek Trail was there.
Yeah.
Right, and then after that, after my knees started getting stronger, then I start meeting with a couple of guys, and I rode with them, co-workers, more or less.
Yeah.
And then I bought my first bike, believe it or not, actually from, you weren't in business at that point, was from Bike One, or Budget Bicycles.
Because they were Budget Bicycles when they opened. And when, approximately, when do you think they changed their name to Bike One?
That would be...
Because it was before my time.
Yeah, I mean, it may have been...
In the 2000s sometime, probably.
2010, maybe.
Okay.
2008, 2008.
Because it's been around for about 30 years.
Yeah.
For a long time. Mark's been at it a long time.
But I bought my first one there and my second one there. It's like, you know, hardtail. And then upgrade full suspension. Mm-hmm. And then upgrade to a different bike. So it was just progressively. And then I want to race mountain bikes. And then kids born. My first daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't ride mountain bikes anymore. I'm going to get a road bike so I can leave the house and ride.
Yeah.
And then I fell in love with the raw speed of road cycling.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, and even for me, like when I first started riding, it was road and fitness. And I have four kids. So at the time, like driving an hour to ride an hour to drive back an hour was 3 hours and only 1 hour of riding.
Right.
So being able to go out for an hour from my house was kind of how I fell in love with road too.
Right. Yeah, well, it's like most of the time, and you can speak to George or a few others, it's like... You know, every weekend we were 2 hours drive, ride for 4 hours, 2 hours back.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that with a newborn.
Mm-mm.
But
because newborns suck at riding bikes.
yeah, they do. I bought the road bike and I literally fell in love with it. I started riding with groups. And then... Eventually, after doing the Fondos over and over again, I was like, okay, I'm getting this niche to wanting to race bikes again, not just mountain biking.
So do you remember the first bike race you did?
Because
you've done a lot of bike racing over the last 10 years. And there was a lot of different races that are around back in the early, like late 2000s, early 2010s. Not,
it'd been like, there's quite a few in Arkansas.
Hell's Kitchen?
Hell's
Kitchen. Did you ever do Hell's Kitchen?
Yes, Hell's Kitchen with that long climb at the end.
I never got a chance to do it, partly because I didn't want to do the long climb at the end.
There was years when it was super cold. Obviously, you know, racing down south at Pace Bend or Wahlberg when it was around.
I liked Wahlberg and Pace Bend.
You know, heading out and doing, obviously, Crosswinds Classic or those things which are still around.
Still around, yeah.
And then, of course, obviously into the Dallas Matrix,
Bike
the Bricks, things of that nature. Those were all great.
Great races.
Great races.
Yeah.
Love to see more road races come back, not just crit racing. I just know it's, but logistics of it is hard, right?
Yeah, anything on a road anymore is just from looking at the events we've done together, like with Velo and stuff, it's just more difficult than getting a closed course and running it there.
Right.
So, but when we would do, what was... So think of a good example of one of your early races. Like it has a story around it. Road racing.
So road racing, obviously, a little background check a little bit more. So when I decided to get into road racing, I met up with, Steve Schlegel.
Yeah.
Right? And then Schlegel introduced me to Brian Parks.
Oh, yeah. Team Undiscovered.
Team Undiscovered.
Yeah.
Tony was just on, but I think he just left not that long ago after that.
Yeah, so Team Undiscovered was a play on the Team Discover.
Right.
That was an American Trek team.
Right, correct.
And initially, they had tried to get on Velo. But at that time, OKC Velo was a Cat 3 and up only, kind of elite road racing team.
Right.
And so because I couldn't get on there, they kind of at least wanted kits, and they created Team Undiscovered, which was a really good team in the area for a while.
Right.
And I was on until we launched the shop. And when we launched the shop, we launched it partnered with Velo.
Right, right.
So I didn't feel like, as a person that was doing our marketing and our grassroots and getting people encouraged, I couldn't be partnered with a club and running for another one.
Right, right.
So that's why I had to jump off, and Parks was a little spicy about that, but it's okay. I understand.
Right. But
anyways, you jumped on Team Undiscovered.
I Team Undiscovered, you know, did plenty of team camps, got to know the guys, rode a crap ton, just building my fitness over the years.
Yeah.
My first memory races were actually like the ones I vaguely remember the most detail about is Tall Chief, And also
Salt Creek.
Salt Creek.
That figure eight kind of Salt Creek.
Figure eight crit.
Yeah.
Sleet rain, frozen bike, gear.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're just, I mean, you finish a race and you're going for the sprint finish and you're like, I've got no gears. See, guys, I'm spun out. I can't do anything else.
What category were you? Were you a four?
I was still maybe a four. Yeah, probably. Maybe a five, maybe a four.
I think me and Troy were in the Cat 3 race that year. That it started with like 35 of us, but it was 33 degrees in rain, 32 degrees in rain.
Mm-hmm.
And by the finish, there was only about 12 of us left.
Because your gear was just frozen.
Well, I could shift still, but
yeah, I couldn't.
I remember me and Troy Cowan getting back into the car, and just like everything starting to warm up and hurting, and like looking at each other like, "Why the hell did we do this?"
Right. I had to borrow Rob Bell's, rain jacket just to keep me from being wet at least. But I raced with Wayne Edgar.
Oh yeah, Wayne,
which was a sponsor for Velo last year. With his law firm, and then I can't remember the other gentleman that was on. It's been many years since I've seen him, so I don't even think Terry Stork was in it yet.
Oh, Terry would have been on earlier than later.
But he was in a different category. I think
he might have been at that time.
Yeah. So, but yeah, great race. And it's ironic. It's like that was probably one of my more difficult races, and then 2 years later, I won the overall series.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Which was nice.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, I wish we did. I'd love to do more races this year if I can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you have the Bike Lab Baby.
I have
one and Bike Lab Baby 2.
Right. And there's already that, like, are we going to have a third? Or is this going to be twins? Or, right? It's the
low whistle.
That's the fear.
Low whistle.
That's the fear. So every time we take photos, you know, Trinity says that there's like these little lights in the photos, and she calls them spirits, right? And she took a photo of us today, and there were three spirits, and it's like one is one of our the baby that we didn't get to have, and is are the other two like my parents, or are the other two like the babies that are going to be coming, right? And you're just like, the baby's coming.
Well, it just depends on what you guys want to do at the time, right?
Right. I'm like, I think I might have to get myself snipped.
at some point, that always is the conversation, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you been at the Bike Lab now working? 2 years?
I think we're closer to two and a half.
Two to 2.5 years now.
2021?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 2020? I mean, it's close.
It was 21, I think, when you jumped on.
Right.
We can check and see. Right. Time flies. It feels like it's been 5 years.
And I will say, I mean, it was like when I saw you posted the, accepting, looking to hire.
Yeah.
And
you spent a lot of time over the years being a telecoms networking technician.
Right.
In one way or the other, installing IT systems and creating full solutions for small and medium businesses. So you were kind of on your own doing that kind of stuff. But you also had to travel a lot.
I did. And there was a couple of times, when Rado was born, then it was that struggle of me being gone.
Yeah.
Right? For a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah. But that was just the nature of the job you had.
Right. And, coming my background with my first child, I worked a 10 to 12 hour day, right? So I only saw her in the morning and I didn't see her in the evening.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that relationship with my second child.
Yeah.
Or my third child. So when I saw that, I just mentioned to Trinity, and everything crossed eyes and dots. I mean, the eyes dotted, or the eyes, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. We crossed the T's and we dotted the I's.
That's right. So it worked out fantastic. I mean, it was great that we didn't have a lot of overhead expenses.
Yeah. Because it is a sacrifice to work at a bike shop.
It is.
I mean, you recognize that there's a quality of life change.
But the quality of life way outweighs.
It's high. And you're in the middle of a passion.
Right.
Right. You have to love bikes to work at a bike shop.
Right.
Long term.
Well, when you look forward to going to work, it's not because you're trying to get away from your family.
No. It's like you enjoy what you get a chance to do.
You enjoy what you do. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the interaction with my fellow teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And then I enjoy the customers and friends mm-hmm. that it comes along with. So,
and you've grown a lot as a mechanic over that time. You know, being a home mechanic means you have all the time in the world.
Right.
We're in the hustle of a bike shop and the interruptions. It's a different kind of grind on problems in, problems out, and trying to keep that rolling. In that kind of work, though, what have been some of your favorite projects and work that you've gotten a chance to do over the last couple of years here at the Bike Lab?
Obviously, custom builds are always great.
Well, who's the vintage guy that always gets vintage bikes and brings them in here?
Mark Crow.
Yeah, every time we see him call, we're like, he's going to want to talk to Dustin.
Mark Crow. I love that guy. He has a huge passion for vintage bikes. And he knows a lot more than I do. But I like the fact that he brings them to me because I love working on them.
Mm-hmm.
When we do discover an issue, I love that we do problem solving together.
Mm-hmm.
He knows I can't get a lot of stuff for him because it is vintage stuff.
It's older, yeah.
So we just do the legwork a little bit. He hunts it down, and then he brings it in, and we solve it.
Yeah.
So it's always a new project for him. It could be every month.
Yeah.
Right? Every month he's bringing something.
Oh, he's consistently finding new things, new toys to bring in, new shiny things for us to look at.
But you do that. I did enjoy building the wheelie air for Chris. That was really nice.
Oh, yeah. What frame was that? That was the
Spaniard National Champion.
Spain National Champion that was on the Team Astana.
Right.
And it had that red and black kind of pattern to it.
Right.
And it was the that was the Wheelie Air Zero SLR.
Right.
Their lightweight first aero second kind of bike.
I feel like overall,
what did we build that up with, though?
SRAM Red.
He went SRAM Red?
SRAM Red and Princeton Tech. Princeton Carbon Tech.
I think the Princeton Tech comes from our familiarity with it. I think comes from Evan McQuirk racing for ButcherBox and that being their wheel sponsor.
That's correct.
And then those wheels are nice.
They are nice.
That was a really nice build.
Yeah. If you're listening, Jordan, I hope you're going to get a pair soon.
No, the Princeton Techs are awesome.
Right.
And then vintage wise, do you yourself have any vintage bikes?
I do have one from the a very special gift from the Mr. Bill Wiley.
Okay. Oh, is that the what's the name of it?
The
Tomasini.
1985, maybe earlier 80s Super Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic riding bike.
It's steel, right?
It is steel.
I've recently started to really fall in love with steel bikes.
And it's got first generation Dura-Ace 10-speed, which I do like. Obviously, I'd prefer to have Campion at 7mm final group set for it.
Yeah.
But
we have a friend that maybe has a whole storage locker full of them.
Maybe so. Other than that, I don't ride that bike a whole lot because I don't want to
mess it up.
I don't want to mess it
up. Yeah.
Right. It hangs on a wall, and I just look at it all the time. Mm-hmm. But now the Yaro is getting big enough. He's pulling on the bikes on the wall, and I got to secure it.
Put it up higher.
Yeah, exactly. I do love the vintage bikes. I do love the building the new bikes. Obviously, I'm a big rim brake fanatic, so always building rim brake bikes are nice. I feel like the last 2 years, we've gotten to more custom builds because of COVID.
Mm. Well, you kind of had to because there wasn't a lot of complete bikes that were out there.
Right.
So you had to kind of get creative with presenting an offering as a shop that would be valuable to somebody and obviously doing something custom. And there, I would say when you look at other kind of industries, like you look at, say, cars and you look at motorcycles and you look at boats and you look at bicycles, a lot of times people are just riding stock bikes.
Right.
And there's not as much of that thrill of customization. Because I think part of it's the fitness and performance side. Right. It's taking up a lot of that energy. But we really have fallen into doing a lot of customizations over the last couple of years.
Right, which is nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, I like the process behind it, mm-hmm. not just the build.
Yeah.
So it's the custom build allows me to interact more with the client, mm-hmm. or the friend.
Yeah.
And we get to know each other more. And what drives you towards that part, whatever that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So it builds more of a bond between us both than...
Well, it's just kind of the journey of putting something special together. And that we get to geek out about it the whole time, right?
Now, the recent one was Eduardo.
Eduardo.
right? That was a 6-month process.
Yeah, to get all the parts and get all the right parts. Stuff. And what bike did he end up on?
The Zero SLR.
Okay.
He's a very aesthetic person, mm-hmm. but functionality also. And we picked the parts based on a lot of it aesthetic and functionality.
So what were the walk us through the build. We have it was a blue and white Zero SLR from Villiers.
Right.
And what components did we throw on there?
We went with 105 DI2.
Okay.
Strictly because it's a black group set versus the Eltegra.
Okay, so the right. color of the color group set was more appealing to the build you were doing.
There was a few small things that were different as far as like the shifting, hoods. Mm-hmm. You can actually, the third button and the derailleur, a little bit more adjustability, but it was those were so minor that the aesthetic of it was more appealing.
Nice.
And we chose a full NV cockpit, right?
Okay.
A full NV cockpit and NV wheels.
So stem and handlebar, right. All NV.
Right.
What wheels? Did you say the wheels?
NV wheels.
NV wheels as well. Wheels. So kind of an NV component mm-hmm. setup and then a Shimano drivetrain.
Right.
What tires did you roll with? I already know the answer.
Vittoria Corsa Pro controls.
Did he do tan sidewalls or
he
black?
He did 2 tan sidewalls. Yeah. It's a slick looking bike.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to ride with him very soon because he hasn't been on the bike yet with it. So I'm hoping to actually.
Well, he was off the bike for a little bit there, and he's in he's a music guy in the church world. So around Christmas, he gets really busy.
I hope his first ride is with me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention to him. I was like, "Hey, when you want to go ride, let me know."
Yeah, let's get this done.
Let's get this done.
Well, your Villiers.
Yes.
Right. So something that I've tried to do for a long time at the Bike Lab is. I think the saddest thing I see is when you go to bike shops or even motorcycle shops, like the local Harley dealership I go to, and obviously everyone that works there loves motorcycles and Harleys,
right?
But none of them can afford it, and there's not really a program or a plan from the owners of that business to help them get on one.
Right.
Right? So a lot of times you see people who are kind of burned out because they're working all the time, they can't even ride a Harley because they can't afford it or whatever. And so I never wanted that to be the experience here at the Bike Lab. I wanted, if you're here and you love bikes, I wanted you to like fall more in love with bikes from working here.
Right.
So we do shop bike stuff. So what is your shop bike?
It is a Villiers Cento 10 rim brake.
Rim brake, right? Because if it hadn't been rim brake, we could have done lots of other options.
Wouldn't have done it.
You wouldn't have done it.
I would have been like, I'll just keep riding when I have. I mean... I probably would
because everything's gone disc only with all the modern carbon frames,
right? But once I saw it, I decided to demo the disc brake version of it,
mm-hmm.
and I've demoed many bikes over the years,
mm-hmm.
and I know that fit makes a big difference in the way a bike feels.
Yeah,
it's hard to feel the bike if you don't have a good fit.
Well, yeah, you're feeling the bad fit. Yeah.
Which is why we try to make sure the bike has a good fit for every demo.
Yeah,
but. I would never get into it. I was like, well, I hate the way it feels. I don't like the way it feels. And so I took the disc brake version out, and within the first 50 yards, I knew that was the bike.
Mm.
So, I've ridden plenty of bikes, and the power transfer was simply amazing,
mm-hmm.
right? The bottom bracket's stiff. It's actually a comfortable ride, too. It's not harsh.
The handling of it is what I've heard a lot of people say.
It's very responsive.
Yeah,
it's very responsive.
Yeah.
So head tube angle is, it's aggressive. Yeah. It's an aggressive
race bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But comfortable.
The Cento was kind of like their Villiers race bike, aero race bike before the Zero or the Volante.
Right.
But I don't think there's a ton of compromise in ride quality between the two because we've had a lot of us ride both of them,
mm-hmm.
and I think that the Zero is obviously lighter weight,
right,
and still responsive, and the Volante is lighter weight by some. Not a ton, but by some.
Quite a bit. Like,
And responsive. But I think the power transfer is really, really close.
It's that monocoque frame.
Yeah.
It's like a huge difference.
Huge difference on a frame that's built as a single piece instead of single pieces kind of put together.
Right.
So, what else? What else would you? How did you geek out? Because you could have put whatever you wanted on it. It's a red and white
Cento. In my first red bike. Full red bike. First red full bike.
Color bike. So, I mean, it's an Italian frame, and knowing you, I figured...
I went with Italian. I went with Campagnolo.
Campagnolo. And what level?
I went with Record, right?
Which is their top?
Super Record is their top.
So you went with Record.
Just I went with down. Record. At the price point, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's you don't gain a whole lot besides a little bit of weight difference.
It's mechanical shifting?
Mechanical shifting.
1x11.
Two by 11. 2x11. Traditional 5339.
Standard crank.
Of course. 1130 in the back.
Only skinny guys want that.
Jonathan, 5339.
5339.
Anyway.
And the wheels were Record or Super Record?
They were, it's Bora, WT, or Bora, mm-hmm. is basically the Campagnolo wheel set.
Okay.
All right. Tubeless compatible, and I went tubeless like 2 months after the build.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, oh, actually, tubeless is really nice for the road.
Oh, gosh, it's so nice.
Right, because I was always, I want to stay tubed. I want to stay tubed. And then once I went to tubeless and I went and raced Wheeler, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I think what's nice with tubeless is you get a lot of the low resistance feel you'd get with tubular.
Right.
Because in tubular, you always had this kind of like this feeling that there was something not there holding you back. Like it was a little easier for everything to roll. And tubeless gives you that feel. But I think it has a lot better flat protection too.
It does.
Yeah. So you got your Record Campy. It's a full Italian bike.
Right.
What handlebar and stem?
It's FSA.
Okay. Well, which is still along the lines of what you would find in Italy if someone was building out their dream bike.
FSA and physique saddle.
Yeah.
So physique tape. So Italian saddle.
So when you ride this bike, do you have to also wave the Italian flag as you go down the road?
I put an Italian sticker on it. Which makes it look a little bit different.
A little bit different, yeah.
Right. I like riding lots of different bikes. Every mm-hmm. bike has a different feel for them. And I do love that bike.
Yeah.
It rides really well. Unfortunately, I only have one of those, so I don't have it with me all the time.
Well, you have a bunch of older bikes that you like to ride.
I do. I mean, I rolled another one this morning because the Cinto was here for tonight's ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And I drove last night, so I didn't ride it home. Anyway,
we're about 25 minutes or so. So there's two questions I have left. One, this year, your personal riding, what are some events or things that you're really looking forward to?
Well, I know you're 25 minutes in. I will say the personal events are where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that has actually been influenced by three guys on our team.
Mm.
The development of Brent, Brennan, and Jonathan,
mm-hmm.
Helping those guys get where they are and having them just having this pure desire to get where they are.
Yeah.
And then putting the work in has kind of fired me up a little bit to be like, you know what? I actually have a team again.
Yeah. I have a team to race with.
I have a team to race with.
That's the email I got from you yesterday about building out coaching and training for you, which I'm excited to do.
So I'm like, but there's like this balance. But anyway, I can't do 2 weeks out of Chicago.
No.
I just can't get away that
way. And by Chicago, you mean the Intelligentsia Cup that happens in July. It's 10 straight days of racing from one Friday to the next Sunday.
There's no way I can be gone from here for 10 days.
Yeah.
Or even away from Trinity for 10 days. If I can get away for 3 or 4 days, I'm going to have to justify the trip.
Yeah.
But it's going to be probably more like pace bend.
Mm.
Getting out to pace bend. Because that's just
so the regional races, the races that are like that 3 to 4 hours or so away that you can go to between OKC, Tulsa, Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas.
Right.
And Northern Dallas.
Right. And maybe.
Or Northern Texas.
Cedar Hill is in 3 weeks.
It happens quick, doesn't it?
It does. I told Trini this morning about it. that's a 2-day race, and I'm looking forward to that as a, hey, where do I stand currently?
Yeah.
Right? It's not an A race. It's not a B race. It's a C-minus race, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, either way, I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, pace bend. I'm iffy on Tulsa. I'd like to see what happens in Arkansas.
Tulsa has become such a big show. Like everyone kind of gets lost in the mix of it. It's really a national event now.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd rather go watch it
Or even support it.
And support it versus racing it.
Yeah.
But I more or less, I want to help these three guys. You know, they're in close to their, you know, they're peaking and prime to grow, and I'd like to be a part of that.
Yeah.
If, you know, once Brent and Brendan are able to upgrade to a Cat 2, I'll request my upgrade.
Mm.
And then we'll go from there.
Go from there.
Right.
Well, and the last question, you still work at the bike lab?
I do.
I do. So when you see our presence and you see the bike lab, what is something to you that stands out about the bike lab that not only you like, but you think it's just a little different than other places you might find?
You know, bike lab or OKC Velo is the third team I've raced with.
Yeah.
Right. I'm the person when I get on, I'm there loyal until the team dissolves or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for years you tried to get me to be a part of the bike.
I did.
Right, for years. But I, you know, with Team of Discovered or Evoke and then with Pro Bike Racing, and then I came in to you.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is like there's a lot of, I mean, I'm going to say community, but that's just a very broad word, in my opinion. You know, even though it really is, but it's more than just cycling.
Mm.
Right? I mean, we're all cyclists.
Yeah.
But we get to grow. We get to grow each. We get to know each other more than just cycling.
Yeah.
And then pushing each other past your boundaries, accepting you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're okay with constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And then the occasional, it's okay to be like, sometimes you can be harsh, but it's okay. There's no hard feelings.
Yeah.
We're just like, hey, I want to see you improve. I'm not going to cut around the bush.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing I like about it is we don't dive in just to one area.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? We focus on all aspects of cycling related.
Yeah.
And then there's things that we do that are not even cycling related.
Yeah.
Right? So we focus on our community.
Yeah.
And it's not just cycling related.
Yeah.
Right? It's even small businesses.
Yeah.
Right? Because they are our community.
Yeah.
Because without our community, it changes.
It changes, right? Yeah. It gets kind of whitewashed. And
right.
It's part of that suburban feel sometimes where you feel like, well, I could be at any place in the country right now and this would all look the same.
Right.
Versus the parts that feel unique and special to where you live and your chance to be a part of it.
Right. Exactly.
Cool.
So, but no, I like where the team goes. I like how the shop interacts with the team.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of support.
Yeah.
And it's not just support by means of dollars.
Right.
Right. There's a lot of knowledge support. There's a lot of emotional support.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just all the way around.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Very cool, Dustin. Well, thank you for spending some time with us on the Bike Lab.
You're welcome.
Podcast. You'll find Dustin here Tuesday through Saturday when we are open. And obviously, if you are into road riding and custom builds and projects, you have found the person that's going to help you do that.
I do like good coffee, by the way.
And good coffee. And we have that Villiers Superleggera steel frame bike that we need to do a custom build on this year, and it's obviously going to be campy, but we've got to get that build going as well and document that on our YouTube channel.
That'd be nice.
Start
almost posted
a
photo. I almost took a photo of it, which I'm going to, and then post it to Vintage Steel Bikes. Even though it's not vintage, it's vintage technology.
It's vintage
technology.
It's a new bike they make every year, heralding back to the bikes they've been making for over 100 years.
Yeah, but they make it in the traditional way.
So. They do. Yeah.
So, that would be fantastic. Either than that, yeah, I can't. Yeah, ooh boy, now you're making me dream. Now,
yeah, now you're like your brain just exploded on ideas of how to build that bike.
You're making me kind of wet. Sorry.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we will see you all next time here on the Bike Lab Podcast.